There's lots of intrigue in the world of Russian spycraft. Today, British police said the former Russian spy Sergei Skripal and his daughter were poisoned by a nerve agent. The two were found slumped on a bench in the UK on Sunday and are critically ill. He was convicted in Russia of spying for Britain in 2006 and has been living in the UK after a dramatic prisoner swap in 2010. Meanwhile, that high-end escort, Anastasia Vasyukevich, in prison in Thailand for working at a sex training seminar without a visa, says she has recordings that could aid the investigation of Russian meddling in the U.S. election. David Filipov is a former Moscow bureau chief for The Washington Post. David, start with Skripal. Russia denies any involvement in his illness, but he would not be the first person to cross the Kremlin and maybe end up dead in England. So people are naturally thinking that's got to be what it is.
Right. That's the thing, Robin. With every one of these allegations, I mean, just listening to you describe it, it sounds so outrageous and so much like a James Bond novel, right?
Or The Americans.
Oh, The Americans. You know, it sounds crazy. But the reason that anyone's even giving it any credence is because in 2006, a former Russian spy who was critical of Vladimir Putin did mysteriously end up poisoned with a radioactive substance. And in absentia, Britain decided that those were Russian spies who did it. So when a former spy suddenly ends up critically ill mysteriously, naturally we assume this is it again. Now, of course, the Kremlin's going to deny it because you would never acknowledge, hey, we did try to assassinate our guy. Also, this is would be a really serious violation of the rules of spycraft because Sergei Skripal was exchanged for, you may remember, the 10 spies who were caught here in the United States.
They were the Americans.
Yeah, the Americans. It was a prisoner exchange. Remember Anna Chapman? She did centerfolds later. I mean, it was a prisoner exchange. That would be a complete violation of the unwritten rules of spycraft. Once you exchange the spies, you don't go back and, you know, assassinate them. So the Kremlin's denying it. They're denying involvement. There's also the total possibility that two people got poisoned by something else.
Yeah. Okay. Well, we'll leave that aside because you actually say, as disturbing as that is, that these two people are sick. The more interesting one for you is this escort from Belarus. She goes by the name Nastya Rybka. She's currently in a Thai prison seeking asylum in the U.S. What does she claim to have?
Well, she's a fascinating story, too. We only know about her because she was sent by somebody to go and try to entrap Alexei Navalny, an opposition anti-corruption activist. He was trying to figure out who she was. Turns out on Instagram, she's posted lots of pictures of her posing on a yacht with a famous Russian oligarch who's involved in our Russia investigation, the meddling investigation, Oleg Deripaska. Our anti-corruption activist looks further. He finds out that she's written a tell-all book about her relationship with a Russian billionaire who turns out to be Oleg Deripaska, the guy who's involved in our investigation, the guy who had dealings with Paul Manafort, President Trump's former campaign chairman.
Who is also a lobbyist who represented the Russian-backed president of Ukraine.
Who represented the president of Ukraine who fled to Russia. That's right. What we definitely know for sure. So all of this comes together, and now she ends up in a jail in Thailand. She says, I know that I heard Oleg Deripaska, with whom I was on yachts, talking to people who sounded like Americans about the U.S. election. So if you help me, if you get me political refugee status, I'll tell all.
Look, there are the pictures. She claims to have the audio. What are the chances that she's going to remain alive to do that? If she indeed has something, I mean...
Well, of course, what she's saying is that she's in great danger. I wouldn't be able to speculate about her chances of staying alive. I will say that what sounds so outlandish, and as I'm saying it, I sometimes question how serious I should take this. It's because we've seen the evidence, the breadcrumbs that she left on the internet, pictures of her with Oleg Deripaska. We know Oleg Deripaska is tied to Manafort. We know that Manafort is facing these serious charges. We know that the Mueller investigation is getting closer. So when she says, I have something that connects Deripaska with the Trump campaign, I mean, we have no choice but to listen to her, right?
Yeah. But by the way, you are here now. But what are people in Russia saying about these stories?
Okay. So when you and me say, we roll our eyes and we say, this sounds outlandish, but we got to take it seriously, they stop with, that's outlandish. You guys are reaching. You're out of your minds. What's wrong with you Americans? Move on. What's this big mass hysteria where suddenly everything and everybody is this huge campaign to, you know, mess with America? And in a way, you got to see their point. In fact, Putin is not all powerful. In fact, this Nastya Rybka case shows you how chaotic.
The escort,
and, you know, the escort case, it shows you how chaotic and messed up all of this stuff is. It is true that oligarchs and sex workers apparently meet on boats. And it is true that Manafort is in serious trouble. The Russians are saying, why do you connect all that stuff?
Yeah. Well, and it also is true, apparently, that she was sent to this opposition person to try to put him in a compromising position. Gee, who would have sent her to an opposition?
And that's the thing. That's why we have to take it seriously, because the Russians are saying, look, we're just serious people trying to do serious things. Why do you blame us for everything? And we say, well, who is it that sends sex workers to entrap opposition activists who are polling at 2%? Why even bother with them? Why go to that, you know, cartoonish attempt to try to keep down this opposition guy? Yeah. That's the thing that makes the Kremlin look bad.
And continues to intrigue us. David Filipov, former Moscow bureau chief for The Washington Post, thank you.
Thanks for having me.